2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmor.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Go to the website, DFSArmor.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to our Domination Station, which creates up to 150 lineups within one click for all your NBA, NFL, PGA, NASCAR events that you need there, as well as our 24/7 Slack chat channel where somebody's always willing to help you out. Any of your questions out there, and of course, the VIP articles and tools that are available only to Army members. Once again, promo code PODCAST at DFSArmy.com. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. I'm going to be rocking this pod solo today. Keith had some things going on over at the house, but it's funny because it was told to me that I'd be doing the podcast on Wednesday without him. So that meant, you know, try to find a replacement for somebody. I think I posed the question. Nobody answered, or nobody answered that I saw. And I kind of woke up today just like, all right. You know, like I didn't usually, sometimes on a podcast where I'm going to be by myself, I typically don't prepare as much just because I know I can ask Keith some of the questions. So I actually woke up early today. I've actually been working here in the last 3 hours on today's slate. So everything's pretty fresh in the mind today, which is good. A couple injury news, of course, that have come out, which we'll get to throughout the course of the slate. But as always, we're just going to be breaking this down game by game. Going to try to go through it as quickly as possible since I'm with myself. You know, nobody to banter with, so I'd look like a weirdo if I did such a thing. Lots of games to get to. So let's just dive right in. Washington Wizards at the Miami Heat. Heat 1-point favorites here. Total 211. Miami been very good against the Wizards. 6-2 in their last 8 meetings, covering 5 of those times. 5 of the last 7 Heat Wizards games have gone over the total. No injuries for the Wizards or the Heat that really affect anything tonight. But if we're looking at the matchups here, you know, Washington is allowing the 5th fewest fantasy points per game to opposing centers. However, Mr. Whiteside been doing some serious damage against the Wizards. In 4 of his last 5 games against the Wizards, he has at least 16 rebounds, putting up a good amount of points. He's only he's out of a floor of 17 points here in this 5-game span that I'm talking about. No fewer than 2 blocks in any of these matchups either. So, again, with that being such a prevalent just point getter here on FanDuel nowadays, I think Whiteside could certainly sneak up on the people. I know we're going to have some people maybe trying to go up, down with this. We got the Pelicans on the slate, so that always produces an interesting thought. But, look, Whiteside in this matchup looks really good. Don't mind attacking that area. Again, with the Heat, you know, you never really know where the production is going to come from. Technically, the best place to attack this team is down low, and I guess hope that Whiteside starts acting foolish, getting in foul trouble, maybe getting his head a little bit. Don't think that's the case, but power forward, statistically, the best area to attack the Heat, possibly. Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre Jr. had a nice game the other night against the Sacramento Kings off the bench. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be looking his way, but again, he's in a price, you know, 47,000 on DraftKings, 4,600 on DK. Not a spot that I really need to attack, but again, for GPPs, I really don't mind it at all. Possibly Markieff Morris. We're going to see more minutes there at that 4, you know, with each game that he's been playing since coming off the injury, getting a little more comfortable. I don't mind that area for him. But again, this is not an area that I'm too worried about. Just to touch on the thing with Whiteside again, you know, fantastic history there against the Wizards. And keep in mind here, 2 full days off coming into tonight's game. Typically, I'll mention these things just because, I don't know, maybe the starters get extra run because the coach wants to get them going more in a game. Obviously, on the back end of back-to-backs for teams, we're going to not look at them as favorably because they just played last night. They're going to be tired. We're not going to get their best effort going forward in this game. So, again, a team with 2 days off. Sometimes you'll see it have the adverse effect where a team comes out where they're really rusty or something like that. I think, you know, Eric Spoelstra's a good coach. So, 2 full days for that team to prepare for tonight's game, get everybody well rested. I think that's going to have a major impact here. So, keep that all in mind. In my neck of the woods tonight, we got the Utah Jazz coming in here to the Garden. 4.5-point favorites are the Knicks, -160 on the money line, over-under at 203. And I actually saw something that Keith said last night in Slack chat channel. It was either last night or this morning. You know, the two are the same, right? But he says, oh, my God, I can't believe the line on this game. Like, how are the Knicks even favored? You know, it's the Garden is a place where people want to come and play some basketball nowadays, right? That Knicks crowd, is as much as I hate them as my crosstown rivals, there is no better arena in all of sports than Madison Square Garden when it's up and jumping. So I think, you know, you could just feel the excitement popping off the TV watching some of these games recently. I think that definitely carries over into tonight. Keep in mind here, too, for the Jazz, this is their 4th game in 6 days. They had off yesterday, so it's not as big of an impact, but they will be missing Rudy Gobert, and that is the major impact here. He's going to be out with that knee injury. Of course, Joe Johnson with the wrist injury as well. So again, you know, typically we really don't want to play anybody playing the Jazz because you got Gobert in there as that massive rim protector. But again, I think that this is a sneaky spot where you can kind of go with Kristaps Porzingis tonight. Enes Kanter is even viable in this one, even though his price tag is jumping off the page. But, you know, that's what happens when you start grabbing a whole bunch of rebounds like Kanter does. He's got at least 13 in 4 of his last 6 games. In terms of trying to stop Kristaps Porzingis, his 31.7 usage rate is one of the highest in the NBA right now. Utah, you got to think, what are they going to do to stop him? Maybe little favors. I know he might even be playing a little at the 5. Again, I don't know what Utah's going to do to stop him one-on-one. Granted, the pace is going to be slower for the Jazz. Not necessarily. I'm sorry. With Rudy Gobert out of the game, you know, the pace could pick up a little bit. But again, with Utah, I don't expect them to be like the Brooklyn Nets out there or anything like that. So, you know, just keep that in mind. I really like this matchup for Porzingis here. So, you know, going to be an interesting decision whether you go over him or Anthony Davis, some of these other guys tonight. Again, a lot's been made of Porzingis here with his increasing price tag, which you got to think, too. I mean, you know, these guys' prices don't raise for no reason, and it seems like maybe there isn't as much upside with him nowadays because of, you know, his uptick in price. But, you know, again, without Carmelo Anthony, this is one of the marquee players in the NBA right now, and he does have that 50-point upside. Will happen tonight against the Jazz? You know, you don't know, but obviously things are switched up a little bit here. Frank Ntilikina is an interesting play, obviously coming off of his 6 or 7. I forget if he got credit for that 7th one. The steals that he had the other night. Now, I believe Utah, it's crazy to say. I think they're more of an intelligent team out there where, you know, I don't think we're going to see this up and down pace, up and down the court like we saw with that Cavs-Knicks game. But, again, Ntilikina was so beneficial having all those steals. I don't see that sort of play coming from him tonight, so I'm going to be very cautious about him. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee. It's funny because you got Tim Hardaway priced up there as, like, the main scorer, but Courtney Lee, even at his small prices, come up with some pretty nice performances this season. Would not just immediately dismiss him. So definitely take a look at that. In terms of the Knicks, I really can't get excited about Derek Favors in this matchup. I know, you know, he's been getting more run down there since Rudy Gobert's been out of the lineup. Not something that I'm that interested in. Probably going to be more excited in Ricky Rubio, Donovan Mitchell, guys like that. You know, Joe Ingles, Rodney Hood. Again, not the spot that I need to be in on the slate, but there's some viable options here that I think everybody can certainly take a look at and get excited about. Let's talk about two of the worst teams out there in the NBA right now. Sacramento Kings at the Atlanta Hawks. Hawks 4.5-point favorites here at -190 on the money line. Total of 204. Teams have split the last 4 meetings between themselves, and 3 of the last 4 Hawks-Kings games have gone under the total. In terms of injuries here for the Kings, Vince Carter questionable with that illness still. Gary Giles out the knee injury. For Atlanta, this is their fourth game in 6 days. They did not play yesterday. Marco Bellinelli, Ilyasova, Muscala, Delaney got all their individual ailments. Some of them could play, some of them could not. Be informed on that news going forward. DeAndre Bembry, Miles Plumlee, both out for this game as well. There's all the favorable spots in this game are guys that kind of make us want to shake our heads. So on Atlanta's side of things, they're giving up overall some of the most fantasy points per game in the NBA this season. So you got Zach Randolph there with a 28.5% usage rate. Atlanta allowing the 7th most fantasy points per game to opposing power forwards. Then you got Atlanta allowing the most fantasy points per game to opposing small forwards. So that's where we're not necessarily sure where we're going to get the production or the majority of it. But Garrett Temple, Bojan Bogdanović, Justin Jackson, all guys in that role that could be the guy potentially tonight. Justin Jackson, a guy that I used the other night, minimum price. He did kill me with his 10, but it allowed me to get more pieces of the Boogie action and just some of the more key players on the slate. So it's funny how these minimum price guys work out, right? Like last night I ended up having CJ Miles, who I believe went for like 29, something like that. And then Joe Harris, another near min price guy for the Nets, ends up going for, I believe it was 23. But, it's hysterical because it's like, yeah, no kidding. We want the absolute minimum price guys that pop off for 8 to 10x value. But sometimes we're looking for it in the wrong places. And a guy like Justin Jackson, the night that I had him was 1.2% owned. Granted, some other things worked out in my favor. You had the Lonzo Ball fade. A lot of people were on Cephalosha, things like that. And I feel like way too many people are going for value in the same places. So that's what can kind of help you out here in these tournaments. A guy like Justin Jackson, especially after that 10-point fantasy performance in his last game, I think that this is a great spot to go with them at. We'll get into some of these more chalkier options for value today. But I think Jackson is a guy, and possibly even Bogdanović, Temple as well. All three of these guys they're probably going to go low owned. So be aware, be advised. Willie Cauley-Stein, interesting here too. Atlanta allowing the second most fantasy points per game to opposing centers. Hey, look, I told you, Atlanta giving up a lot of fantasy points. So they're among the leaders in each position in terms of being generous. So again, Willie Cauley-Stein, sometimes you might get a Kosta Koufos sneak in there. I don't know if that's going to be the night tonight, but very interesting to see what's going to happen. But again, pretty much every area attacking Atlanta is a good one. On the other side of things, talking about these Hawks, Dennis Schroeder, 27.7% usage rate, which is actually coming down. He's coming off two terrible performances in as many games. Sacramento slightly better than league average against opposing point guards. So again, if you're good at coin flips, this might be the game for you. Or at least, you can figure out whether it's going to be good or bad. Dwayne Dedman, Sacramento, allowing the third most fantasy points per game to opposing centers. Again, a guy that has really done it out a couple times. But I've always liked him more on DraftKings. Now, I know the price is coming up there. But Dedman's kind of a... and more your basic double-double guy, right? Like he'll grab your 10 points, your 10 rebounds, not many steals or blocks. That doesn't necessarily help you out on FanDuel too much. But again, you get that slight bonus there, slightly less expensive price tag there on Dedman, but don't mind it. Kent Bazemore, shooting guards against the Kings. It's not necessarily popping up on the DVP chart, right? It doesn't look that great. But again, this is historically. It's kind of like the way I liken it to the Celtics playing all this defense. It's a good story here at the beginning. I just don't expect all of this to hold true for the rest of the year. So again, shooting guards against Kings, always a good idea. All right, let's get to San Antonio Spurs at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Timberwolves, 5-point favorites in this game. -210 on the money line makes you say, what? Over under here at 207. Spurs, now this line makes it even more. What? Spurs won the last 8 meetings against the Timberwolves, and they have covered 5 of those games. But the one thing we got to look at here, back end of a back-to-back here for the Mavericks, who were just in Dallas last night. They are also missing Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker, so that certainly helps things out for the Timberwolves. Now, I know Patty Mills is probably going to be a popular option. Everything works out well in this matchup. $4,000 on DraftKings, $4,500 on FanDuel. All that looks great. Minnesota, just getting crushed by opposing backcourts. Third most fantasy points to opposing backcourt. I believe I mentioned that already. But again, back end of a back-to-back, these games are so hard, right? Now, we have 11 games on today's slate, 10 others that you can choose from on this. I don't necessarily know that you need to go to Patty Mills. I mean, we know who Patty Mills is, right? Patty Mills is going to do Patty Mills things. And the price is certainly there. The matchup is certainly there. But I don't know that I could do this back-to-back mode here. So we shall see how this goes throughout the day. But I am going to certainly be looking for something else. TJ McConnell at the Lakers. Okay. Again, back in back-to-back, and the Spurs are one of the few teams that are in that situation tonight. So I think we can get away with fading a lot of these guys tonight. In terms of the Timberwolves, we got to wish a happy birthday. I believe it's the 22nd one of Karl Anthony Towns' life. Jersey guy, what's up? Now, this is a birthday matchup that he's actually done well in the past. You say, what, playing the Spurs? Yeah, he's actually done pretty well. Don't have the exact average on the numbers there, but a lot of these numbers here in the mid-40s, upper 40s against them, so I don't mind that. Five straight double-doubles against them as well. Another area that we've been able to attack the Spurs has actually been shooting guard, and I mentioned this the last time that I was on one of the pods, but with San Antonio, if you're able to get some picks going against some of these guys like a Danny Green or Mills, Murray, guys like that, they don't get around the picks too well. So I believe, you know, when we're looking at picks, you got to look at Karl Anthony Towns, Taj Gibson, guys like that, Jimmy Butler. These are guys that could all set solid screens. So you want to get some of these guys open. I believe Wiggins can be that guy tonight. Now, the price tag, 67 on DraftKings, 62 on FanDuel, not the greatest one that I've seen on the board in quite some time. But GPPs, I believe you're certainly going to get a low ownership on Wiggins tonight. And look, we're facing the Spurs here, back end of a back-to-back. It's a good time to pick on them if you're ever going to do so. So keep that in mind. All right, next game we want to get to, Cleveland Cavaliers at the Charlotte Hornets. Cavs 2.5-point favorites here, -140 on the money line, over-under at 220. Cleveland 7-1 against the Hornets in their last eight meetings, covering six of those games and pushing on another. Six of the last eight Hornets-Cavaliers games have also gone over the total. So all of that great news. Here's the interesting one, though, right? So, of course, Nicholas Batum returning to the lineup today. That is a big, big piece of news right there that we'd like to see. But the Hornets have had four full days off coming into tonight's game. So it's been understood, I guess, that Nick Batum is going to be on some sort of a minutes limit, which, you know, I think that's fine. He's got a pretty good price on him today, I believe he is. $4,600 on DraftKings, $5,400 there on FanDuel. But I still like Jeremy Lamb in this game because, you know, you look at it. Let's start at the beginning, though, right? Because attacking the Cleveland Cavaliers with the opposing backcourts has just been something that we've been doing all season, and I don't think we're stopping anytime soon. Right, you got a bunch of these old bastards out there for the Cavs. They're just lazy, getting out there defending in the perimeter. Hey, you know what? You take advantage of it where you can, and you take advantage of it while you can. Okay, because this Cavs team is not going to be terrible all season long. But I like Lamb because we're probably going to see him just be the quarterback there out on that second unit. And you know, he's been doing a fine job of the second unit too. But I think that, you know, this just places more of an emphasis on it now for Lamb, right? And it's been crazy. So this would be the third season of the area that I'm talking about here. But I remember Jeremy Lin, back when he was in Charlotte, he was doing a fantastic job playing quarterback of that second unit. Lamb did a fantastic job of it as well. And then even this season, while Batum was out, I mean, Malik Monk did a fantastic job playing that role. So it's basically whoever steps into that role for the Hornets has always been good in that matchup, or just been good in that scenario. So I will still like Lamb. Again, price tag, not the greatest, but I think it's a nice area that you could take a try on tonight in GPPs, because everybody's going to, Batum is back. He's the new shiny toy that we need. Well, don't forget about Lamb, right? He's still there. And, the matchup is there for you to take that chance. So, again, I don't mind this at all. Dwight Howard is another guy that I really like tonight. Quite simply, this is a matchup that he should dominate. Kevin Love really does not stand a chance against him down low, just beef to beef. You know, Howard, obviously, the more physically imposing man. I do worry on the other side about that, though, where Love can pull Howard out to the perimeter, probably have a field day if his shot's on. That's an interesting play as well. But again, I don't even know how I skipped over Kemba Walker. I mean, this is the guy, probably going to be the if so facto chalk play of the evening, right? Point guard going up against the Cavs. How could he possibly screw this up? He's at home. But hey, could you make the case to fade Kemba Walker? Of course you can. This is NBA DFS. You could do whatever the hell you want. You could do whatever you want that you could put your little mind to. And to be quite honest with you, I'm thinking about pulling the fade here, right? I mean, hey, it's Kemba Walker. He's dropped like mid-30s before. He's dropped low 30s before. I know the matchup is there. Hey, look, the matchup was there for Lonzo Ball against Phoenix the other night, and that didn't work out. Sometimes you just got to put your cojones out there on the table and say, this is the stand that I'm going with. Look, I want to do that, right? I mean, obviously, Kemba Walker's probably going to be in the 30s, 40s of ownership percentage tonight. But, again, it's just something that you better have a backup plan for, because it could certainly bite you in the ass as well. For the Cavs, look, I don't mind LeBron here, right? You got him trying to lead his team back in here, try to get the Cavs back into a nice, consistent pace. My favorite LeBron is angry LeBron, and this is, a game that, again, they're going to – Cavs had that massive comeback against the Knicks in that last one. Maybe a little bit of momentum coming into tonight. But, again, Vegas thinks this is going to be a pretty close game. They have the Cavs as slight favorites, money line favorites. The Cavs have historically not done well at that minus 140 mark. They were there a lot of last year. The Cavs haven't really done that well overall themselves. I know that this is going to snap back into place for them at some point. Is tonight the night, though? That's what you got to ask yourself. Again, I liked Love in this matchup, too. Don't mind him. Jeff Green could even be an interesting guy here. I know the Hornets, that could be a pretty good matchup against Frank Kaminsky. I think, the Hornets have a lot of guys similar to Jeff Green's skill set. So, we should probably see him out there a little more tonight, in terms of a matchup situation there for the Cavs. All right, let's get to the next game here. Toronto Raptors at New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans 3-point favorite here, minus 150 on the money line. Total at 219. Toronto has won their last five meetings against the Pelicans, 3-2 against the spread in that span as well. Three of the last five Pelicans Raptors games have gone over the total. Now, keep in mind, Toronto back in with back-to-back at Houston yesterday. CJ Miles, OG Anunoby were the guys stealing the show for everybody. I had a piece of Miles, did not have any of OG. Just like we were talking about with the Spurs, sure, we had a guy like Patty Mills do fantastic last night, but on the back end of a back-to-back, I'm certainly going to be cautious and look for every reason not to play these guys when everybody else is just going to blindly say, oh, these guys are cheap, we can fit them in there. It sounds great, but you got to think about it. It's not as easy as just sticking it in there. This isn't college anymore, kids, all right? This is the pros. So, again, they're great value plays, but we just got to make sure that we do our due diligence and make sure that the back-to-back does not affect them. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, I could see them right around value. Again, just not thrilled on the back end of a back-to-back. Last night, they played this highly up-tempo game against the Rockets. Tonight, on the other side of this, they're going to play a highly physical Pelicans team. I don't think it bodes well for the Raptors. But again, the fact that the Pelicans are only 3-point favorites in this one, you see Toronto's won the last 5 games against this Pelicans team. It's not an open and shut case. DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, just saw the same matchup 5 days ago, right? Cousins had the huge game. He plays 42 minutes, 20 points, 15 rebounds. However, commits 7 turnovers. Got to see if the Raptors get back to him again. AD wasn't needed as much because, remember, this was the season high 34-point performance from Jrue Holiday. That could be another one to go back to. Yeah, I'm not overly thrilled about this matchup. 217 does have me intrigued, though, as the total on this game. But again, man, it's this Raptors team. We're going to have to wait and see any injury new or if anybody's sitting or anybody's a little nicked up or anything like that. But I'm going to certainly be paying attention to this one. Chicago Bulls at the OKC Thunder. We got OKC 12-point favorites here. Minus 1,000 on the money line, by far the highest on today's slate. We got a total of 200 here, too. Bulls 3-2 straight up and against the spread versus OKC in the last 5 meetings. 4 of the last 5 Bulls Thunder games have gone under the total. All right, so the Bulls coming into tonight's game have had 3 full days off. They're going to need it because they got a lot of injuries here that is still building up. So Lauri Markkanen, David Nwaba, both listed as questionable for this game. If news came out already on this, I apologize. What else we got here? Justin Holiday actually going to miss tonight's game. I believe the birth of his baby, his first baby. So congrats to him for there, but won't be available for this one. Then you got Mirotić, of course, Levine, Payne, all out for the Bulls as well. Last news has Chris Dunn as a possible chalk play tonight. But as our resident OKC expert Keith Hall would tell you, that Andre Robertson guy is pretty damn good on defense. So that's likely who Dunn would draw on that end. I'm not exactly thrilled about that matchup, but I mean, DraftKings for 4,900, that's certainly viable. FanDuel, 6,100, I am not thrilled about that price in that matchup. What could be a good matchup, however, could be this power forward situation for the Bulls going up against the OKC Thunder here. Now, Markkanen probable to play tonight, right? Should be good. I like him. I like Bobby Portis in this situation. Now, for the OKC side of things, Carmelo Anthony questionable with that back issue. I mean, look, the guy, he's never won any defensive award that I can remember. So, you know, again, just the back ailment's probably going to add to the favorableness in this matchup here. And then also, too, Steven Adams doubtful to play tonight's game. So this could be a nice night here. Could even get a little Robin Lopez action going here with Lauri Markkanen and Bobby Portis if you want as well. The spread in this game, though, is what initially had me worried. Like, oh, yeah, OKC is just going to roll up these guys and smoke them. You know, the absence of Steven Adams and the possible absence of Carmelo Anthony could make this much easier matchup here for the Bulls. Two other guys that I want to talk about, both coming from the OKC area of things. Russell Westbrook, of course, 10-8 on DraftKings, 10-3 on FanDuel. And look, hey, we've all been very, very disappointed with Russell Westbrook's production, his fantasy production lately. And again, that the price, it's doing the same thing. It's just dangling out there for you to take the chance on. Again, if we're going to be missing Anthony, we're going to be missing Melo from this game. Adams already, you know, likely out for this one. This is where Westbrook certainly turns it up. And, you know, just again, with piece by piece falling off, going to have to wait and see the injury news here. But, yeah, Russell Westbrook could be a very interesting matchup here. And, again, you got to remember, just so many guys, so many new faces here in this OK first unit. It's been a little bit of an adjustment period. But if it's going to be Russ and if it's going to be PG-13 as the two solo acts going at the Bulls team tonight, you could certainly get down with all of that. And another guy that could be interesting here, Dakari Johnson. He's 3,600 on FanDuel. I did not see the price on DraftKings, so forgive me. This is a guy that, you know, he's only played, 23 minutes, 18 minutes in each of the last 2 games. 3,400 on FanDuel he is. Now, again, only if Adams is out here would I take the chance on this. This is just a guy that can certainly put up some fantasy points, a guy that we have seen in the preseason do some damage. Again, all he needs is the opportunity. This matchup against the Bulls is a phenomenal one. So, again, pay attention for that news. We could see it. And Jeremy Grant also viable here, especially if Carmelo Anthony is out for this game. Whew! I hate doing this analysis without having the actual news. Like, I like having the actual news that says, hey, this guy will be out. So, I know. Like, I don't like breaking down too many scenarios. I just like having that one to go with. And it keeps everything in a fantastic loop. Speaking of fantastic, we have a matchup that is, well, not fantastic. We got the Indiana Pacers at the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies 4-point favorites here, -170 on the money line. So, we've also got a total of 205. Grizzlies 3-1 straight up and against the spread versus the Pacers in their last four meetings. Interesting notes here on the Pacers, two full days off before tonight's game. And in their last 13, now stay with me, folks. In their last 13 games that were on the road where they had two more days of rest, they were 12-1 against the spread. That right there, folks, is a sign of good coaching right there. And that's exactly what the Indiana Pacers have. So I don't mind all those things, but again, they are at the grindhouse in Memphis. However, Mike Conley could miss this game. He is questionable right now with the Achilles injury. We'll get to that in 1 second, but it doesn't make the matchup for the Pacers oh so glorious. Just, you know, all that stuff at the beginning, I think that this could be a pretty competitive game. I don't think anybody's going to get blown out or anything like that, so again, just keep all those things in mind. For the Pacers, it's going to be the same group of guys. I mean, Miles Turner, who actually came out and said that he knows he's not at 100% right now. It's a matchup against Marc Gasol that you really don't need to take the chance on 11-game slate. So with that being said, perhaps Victor Oladipo, Thad Young, Bogey Bogdanovich could get in the mix. Again, all GPP darts, not necessarily thrilled about anybody. But I get the big news that I think everybody's waiting for is with Mike Conley. That could open up some uber chalk value in Mario Chalmers. Tyreke Evans sees a usage rate that nearly goes up to 30% without Mike Conley in the lineup. So that's a great spot to take advantage of. Jamichael Green's going to be back for the Grizzlies in this one. He's going to play limited minutes, but again, he's a guy that has sunk more than a few of my lineups in the past. So again, not something that I'm too worried about, but I think all the news in this game really is, you know, what's up with Mike Conley and can we get Mario Chalmers and Tyreke Evans in there as a part of it. All right, next game, Pistons at the Bucks. Bucks 4.5 point favorites here, -190 on the money line, over under set at 207. Pistons 5-4 against the Bucks in their last nine meetings. That's straight up and against the spread. Early news from this one, Stanley Johnson will play. John Luer will play. Good news for a Pistons team that needs all hands on deck going up against the Greek tonight. And this is an interesting matchup because the Pistons have done a pretty damn good job here on the Greek. Greek, he got over 50 fantasy points once against them in his last six meetings. Everything, you know, kind of right around that 50-point mark on DraftKings just hasn't been able to come over the mark there. So, you know, you just got to look at it. Pistons are a much better team this year. They got a good rim protector there in Drummond. They have the pieces there that can stop him. You know, Avery Bradley, Stanley Johnson, Tobias Harris, a couple of these guys just want to switch on and off with him all night. Stan Van Gundy's a good coach. He's going to devise a formula that gets the ball out of the Greek's hands. And let's not forget, too, with the Greek, he's got a nice complimentary set of pieces over there now. You got Bledsoe in the mix. You got Middleton over there. I mean, Middleton certainly has not stopped the Greek from getting to 60 fantasy points by himself this season. But, again, you know, just another piece there in Bledsoe could certainly make this a night where the Greek doesn't hit value. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's certainly something that we got to talk about. He's 12-2 there on FanDuel, 11-3 on DraftKings. That obviously the DraftKings is probably where you're going to play him more, but you know, it's certainly a discussion for the Greek tonight. And then on the other side of the court, looking at Andre Drummond, you know, this is a matchup that he should just absolutely feast on this Bucks team that's, you know, quite... I don't think they're as manly down low as many other teams have out there, but Drummond has done well in this matchup before, so I think he can get it going again. Don't mind it. Not too thrilled about anybody else from the Pistons. Bucks, pretty good defensive team, so yada, yada, yada. We moving on. Orlando Magic at the Portland Trail Blazers. Blazers 5-point favorites here, minus 190 on the money line. 211 total. Teams have split their last four meetings. Three of the last four Magic Blazers games have gone under the total. For the Magic, this is their fourth game in 6 days. TJ Augustine, Jonathan Isaac out with individual ailments. The only one that really matters for Portland is Aminu out with the ankle injury still. We got to start with Orlando. And, you know, this isn't exactly just a blind pick that we could go at the Blazers with. I mean, they're one of the top defensive teams in the league early on this season. Again, I don't see it sustaining, but for the time being, I certainly don't, you know, mind being cautious with Orlando here tonight, because we do know that they have a couple different pieces on that offense that, you know, are a lot of sharing going on involved there with Orlando, right? We don't have our main dog and pony show, but if you do want to attack a position, maybe small forward is the way to go. Portland is better than league average against every position so far this season, except small forwards. They're slightly worse against that position, but again, it's 11 game slate, so I'm not gonna force anything in that it doesn't have to go in there. If you do want to attack that small forward position, that's where Evan Fournier could be. Jonathan Simmons certainly becomes a lot more interesting with that Isaac news being out today. Again, I don't mind it at all. And then for the Blazers side of things, power forward clearly the way to attack there, but yeah, that's a spot that the Blazers aren't, you know, the greatest at. So I'm looking at possibly a Mo Harkless and Ed Davis in that regard. But also, too, you can't forget the greatness of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum at the Moda Center in Portland. Always much better players there at home than on the road. So keep that in mind as well. All right, last game of the night. Went through this pretty quickly. Philadelphia 76ers, 3.5-point favorites, minus 155 on the money line at the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. We got a total of 220. Teams have split the last four meetings. Three of the last four Lakers, Sixers games have gone under the total. Interesting note here for the Sixers, 17-6 against the spread in the last 23 games versus Western Conference teams. Surprisingly, the Sixers, they have a lot of these great ATS numbers where they pretty much excel in every regard. So good to know for close competitive games. When we're talking about the Sixers, man, Joel Embiid, this price tag on him, 9,700 on FanDuel is sort of crazy, I guess we could say. DraftKings 8,600, not bad. FanDuel at 97, my goodness, that is just ridiculous. Now, this is interesting, right? So the Lakers are allowing the seventh fewest fantasy points per game to opposing centers this season. And, you know, yeah, they got Andrew Bogut in town now, but I don't think that's the whole story. I mean, I know this Brook Lopez guy, all right? I watched 82 net games last season. He's not the greatest defender. So, yeah, I don't mind the Embiid play there on DraftKings. 9,700 on FanDuel. I mean, you can't be doing that, you know? Like, I understand the minutes are coming up a little more for Embiid. Yeah, we're going to put him on a minutes restriction. Yeah, right. You know, I think, he's played at least 32 minutes in each of, I'm sorry, he's played 32 minutes in two of the last three games. This should work. I don't know if I could pay $9,700 for the man. I'm sorry. I'm not ready to do it yet. Obviously, you got some solid plays there as well. Ben Simmons is going to be a nice play. Got to wonder if he's going to see maybe a little Kentavious Caldwell-Pope tonight. I'm not too worried about it. I mean, this is Ben Simmons, kind of matchup proof. Remember, we call him the middle class version of Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's no way he would ever be a poor man's anything. This kid is a beast. So I don't mind that. I kind of like TJ McConnell in this matchup, priced up a little bit on FanDuel, but that's okay. I could deal with that. 5,100, I think I'm going to get a nice return on my investment there. I don't mind that. Dario Saric, remember, not big fans of him when Joel Embiid's in the lineup. always got to think about that. And the other side of things, it's going to be the first home game for the Lakers in a while. They've been out on that East Coast road trip, so it'll be nice for them to get back to the friendly confines. I think this helps Kyle Kuzma out more than anybody. I think we saw on that East Coast road trip at the end of it, you know, he was like, ugh, like he just wasn't feeling it, you know. So it'd be nice for him to get home. You know, he's been averaging, you know, just three more fantasy points per game at home than on the road, but I've seen it with these rookies. You know, it happened to Chris Porzingis on his first big West Coast road trip. And, you know, you'll see this in the NBA. These kids just get tired. You know, they're playing an amount of games that they really haven't played ever in their career. So, especially at this competition, this high of a level. So, again, be patient with the kid. I think, you know, $6,200 on both sites is fairly priced for him. So, I like that matchup against Saric, too. I think he can certainly excel in that. Philly's allowing the sixth most fantasy points per game to opposing centers. Brooke Lopez, certainly viable here. 53 on DK, 61 on FanDuel. And we got to talk about Lonzo Ball, who everybody is just upset with beyond explanation. Yeah, he had that great matchup there against the Suns. But, I mean, look, you got to think about with Ball. I love the kid's game. I'm all about team ball. I love the passing. I love the motion. I love just the movement of everybody. But look, he's just not a big scorer, you know, and for that price, $7,300 on FanDuel, $7,200 on DK, you need to have some scoring. I'm sorry. I know he does a lot of these great peripherals, and it seems like Ball does better in these matchups where, you know, he's not supposed to do well. But, again, this is not going to be an easy matchup for him tonight. You know, Sixers can play some defense. They got a couple guys that can stick with them. So, again, I'm not rushing to my screen to make sure that I have Lonzo Ball in my lineup. But, again, I think that this is a nice stay-away area here, and we'll be fine for that. That'll do it for today's podcast. I know I ran through it, and, you know, I had a lot of these notes were done on the fly today, but hopefully you get a decent amount of information that you pulled from it. And I have no idea how many games are on the slate tomorrow, but if we don't talk tomorrow, we'll see you Friday. And once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast, gets you 20% off each month of the subscription. We will see you later, folks. Peace out.